And my guest today, Sierra Hull, back for a third time. And we're going to talk about a new tour. If you were listening early in the program, we mentioned the fact that she was scheduled to go on tour and was the first musician that I know of that was totally canceled, like right after the first show back in April of 2020. Now she's going on tour again. She's been out with her band, and she's been appearing with Bela Fleck on the My Bluegrass Heart Tour, I'll call that. And you've heard a lot of her music in the first hour from all different sources. There are very few people that are as broad-ranging as Sierra Hull and the music that she writes and the music that she plays and all the other people that want her to be on their music. It's that important. Our guest today, Sierra Hull, I know you're going to enjoy. Thanks so much for listening to Unreal Bluegrass. To the audience of Unreal Bluegrass, I'm always happy to welcome Sierra Hull. How are you?
I'm great, Steve. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. An odd thing happened the other day. I guess these things just have to have start times and end times. I saw your announcement that you're going on tour again, which is a great thing for all the people out here that have missed you. And then it occurred to me the last time you and I talked for this program was as your tour ended abruptly because of COVID. I thought, well, let's bring all this back around again and talk about your new tour and what you're doing.
Yeah, I remember that because we spoke at length just about kind of the crazy moment in time we were all having.
Yeah.
I had just released my latest album, 25 Trips.
That's right.
Got about 2 weeks into the tour, and the record was out like maybe a week or so, and the whole tour canceled. And so, you know, I've been back to playing some over the last year, but this year in particular has just been back full speed ahead, and much different situation now than what we last talking about, where I was just kind of sitting at home.
Nobody knew what the end is, and nobody knew what the end game was going to be when the time came to get out again. So I was happy to see you get out. We talked at length about the new album that you had just released that you said had been out for a week or so. So now with all this time, tell me a little bit about the band that you will be mostly appearing with and the beginning of your tour, and maybe we can touch about how to find out about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So we've been hitting lots of festivals all summer long. So this band has been out playing this year, but this will really feel like a fun, kind of more curated tour of sorts. And there's some festivals mixed in with this fall tour that we're doing as well. But the current band consists of course, myself playing mandolin and singing. We have a guy that plays acoustic and electric, a guy named Sean Richardson, who's just amazing. Avery Merritt on the fiddle. Eric Coveney on the bass and Mark Rodabaugh on drums.
Wow.
So
will the band, so let's talk about the type of music that people would see this band play. Obviously, you have a pretty big catalog to pull from, and you have a lot of fan favorites. So if I were to go see you, and I'll talk to you in a minute about where we can find out, where everybody listening can see your tour schedule. But so you say kind of curated. By that, I think it means that you've taken some effort to pull from other sources. That's how I get it, that you've made a selection, not just to follow up on the 25 album that we talked about, but it sounds to me like there's a thought process involved.
Yeah, definitely. I think when you get to go out on a longer run like what we're doing, gosh, maybe 19 or 20 shows kind of all in one cluster. And for me, I enjoy that because it gives me a chance to really kind of pull some different things together. Of course, we're going to also have Lindsay Liu, an amazing singer-songwriter,
sure.
And also Taylor Ray, an amazing singer-songwriter, out on select dates. So there'll be some collaboration with them as well, which has been a big part of what I've been doing over the last year, a lot of collaborating. But, yeah, with this particular band I have right now, I feel like they're so versatile. I mean, they're all just insane musicians. So we can kind of pull from all over the place. So, yes, we will be playing some songs from 25 Trips. We'll be playing some brand new songs that haven't been recorded that, you know, maybe you might have caught live or heard us do live if you caught us at a festival this summer. But then also, especially both Avery, the fiddle player, and Sean, the guitarist, I mean, they grew up bluegrassers like I did. So it's been really fun to be back in a full band situation where you know, it's not a bluegrass band per se, but there's a lot of roots in bluegrass. So I feel like in some ways I can lean into that side of things more than I have in a while, too. Now, obviously, you know, we don't have a banjo in the band. You know, it's not your sort of traditional bluegrass, but that inspiration is there, and these guys can really pick, you know. So
see,
that's been kind of fun to pull back in, you know, some of my older songs from even my first couple records and being able to play some of that music that I really haven't played in what feels like years.
Yeah.
So it's been really fun.
That must be a great, and if you're just tuning in, I'm speaking again to Sierra Hall, and I say again because it's been a long time. We had to wait out COVID to get you back on to, and talk about a tour, which is very exciting. But so what you're saying is this band gives you, you can do all kinds of things with this band. You can do all the things that may be off of 25 trips. You may, it may be stuff that you've done. And those first albums were so different than what you've explored your way into now. That's the best way I can explain it.
Yeah, so I feel like with this particular band, it's sort of, at least, you know, for now, feels like it's been this kind of great middle ground to be in, because I can sort of pull things any direction I want to go, and these guys are, you know, along for the ride and so versatile
and talented
that they can do that. So it's really fun. And then I'll say, in addition to that, so like I said, we're playing some festivals as part of this fall tour, including one called Fresh Grass, which is up in Massachusetts.
Yeah.
And each year they commission somebody to write a piece of music for the festival. And this year I was commissioned to write something, so I've been kind of working away writing this three-movement piece that my band's going to perform at the festival. And so we were, you know, rehearsing for the tour yesterday and working on that. And I'm really excited about how that's coming together. So I have a feeling that even though we'll be premiering it at Fresh Grass, that's early in the tour, so I feel like we'll be able to play some pieces of this piece that I'm composing.
What a great,
during the tour, too.
What a great honor. I mean, Fresh Grass is very well respected, and for them to ask you to compose something, and I know it'll be a great tune. What a great honor for you, huh?
Yeah, so I'm excited about that. So, you know, we'll probably have these three different pieces for that performance. So I'm sure those will be, you know, things that will find their way into the show as the tour rolls around, too. So I'm excited about that. So it feels like there's a lot of fresh things that folks can come out and hear on this tour, you know, in addition to having, of course, Lindsay and Taylor out for some of it, too. And that's
now, Lindsay Lou I knew well from the Flatbellies. That's how far back I go with her.
Totally.
And now she's doing all kinds of different things. And she's just always been a remarkable voice. I've always enjoyed her singing, no matter who she's playing with. So that'll be great. That'll be great.
Yeah.
So here's what I think. And I've seen you a couple of times. In late 21, when the variants were down before the next variant came, I saw you in Cincinnati, which is right close to me. And you were traveling them with Bela and the Bluegrass Heart. And I saw you again at Grey Fox this year. And so as I look at, I want to ask you one question about being part of that ensemble, because it grows and grows and grows and it's always changing. You have to be in the moment as a performer, but that must just be amazing, because Bela looks around at people and then you take a break and somebody else, there's this communication, this very subtle communication. I assume, knowing the way you operate, that that's the way your band will work now for the most part.
Yeah, well, it's the thing about when you get to play music with people that are, you know, play on that kind of level. I'm so lucky that I just get to be surrounded by incredible musicians. When I go out and play with Bela, you know, the band is just unbelievable. And I think I learned so much from being a part of that, too, that it's exciting. You know, this year in general has been probably the busiest year I've ever had, you know, squeezing in these interviews tonight, playing, my band's playing the Grand Ole Opry tonight.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm also playing with this guy, Chris Shiflett, from the Foo Fighters. He made a record earlier in the year, and it's coming out soon. And so he's playing the Opry tonight, so we'll be guesting with him on a couple of those songs. And then, you know, tomorrow I'm doing a Bela rehearsal and going out on a run with Bela for about 2 weeks and then diving right into my tour. It's just been a busy year, but the collaboration, I've done some stuff with Corey Wong, the Spunk guitarist, this year, and doing another tour with him in November. So I feel like between all those things, it's one of the things that makes me particularly excited about getting to, say, come into this fall tour is because the year has been so busy between hitting festivals with my band, playing shows and festivals with, you know, Bela and Corey Wong, and then getting to do all these other collaborations, you know, just in the studio, like Chris Shiflett or whoever, in between that. And it's so exciting because I feel like I'm able to learn so much and stay inspired by all these kind of things going on. And it's busy.
It's busy.
But it makes me even more excited about kind of coming back in and being able to just go out and do, you know, a month's tour with my band.
You're catching up on all that creativity that was stored up because we all had to shut down for a while. That's what you're doing now. So you hit on an issue that I want to talk to you about playing with Bela, and we could relate it to your band too, because I know the people you travel and make part of your band are top flight. So let's limit it this time. You mentioned performing with Bela. So you are a performer, but you mentioned how much you learn. There has to be a part of you that's an observer. I mean, you're in the moment playing and seeing when Bela looks at somebody and something's going on and something changes. But you have to be an observer, and just every once in a while it has to occur to you, either before or after the show, that this lineup is just royalty, and I'm not limiting just to Bela, your band also. But.
Oh, man. Well, no, but to give you an example, we did a really fun tour with Bela, because Justin, my husband's part of that too, and
yeah.
Well, he's doing all the shows with Bela this year. I'm doing as many as I can possibly squeeze in around my other stuff. But I was lucky to be on a run that was in maybe June, and it was a package tour with Bela's band, Sam Bush Band, and Jerry Douglas Band.
Well, there you go.
A week worth of shows. And it was so fun. And every night we would have, you know, different people playing on different songs and a lot of people on stage at once. And at one point I looked over, I'm in the middle of the show, and I look over and there's Bela on the banjo. Right behind him is Mark Schatz. And for anybody that might not know Mark Schatz,
yeah.
I mean, Mark played with Tony Rice for years. He's been on tons of Bela records and, you know, Nickel Creek, you name it.
Everything.
Loads of people.
Yep.
But, you know, somebody that I've seen play for years. And then you've got, like, Sam Bush right to my left. And then I look over and Jerry Douglas is to my right. And at one point, I literally thought there's this legendary Merle Fest video that I feel like everybody's seen from on YouTube with Tony Rice and Sam Bush and, you know, Margo O'Connor and it's Schatz and Bela. And at some point, I was like, wow, like, mm-hmm. 9-year-old me, who, I remember we watched that video so much, someone gave us, like, a you know, like a VHS tape or something that had that Merle Fest special on it, and we, of course, we were huge Tony Rice fans, too,
oh, yeah.
So, I mean, we watched that what felt like every day at my mom and dad's house, and so I just kind of was like, it's like I just stepped into the Merle Fest video. Like, what is going on? This is so crazy.
It's amazing.
Those moments become surreal when you really...
Yeah.
Sometimes you're just moving so fast you don't have time to think about it, but then, you know, when you really do kind of stop and just kind of observe for a minute and remove yourself from,
yeah.
from the situation and go, how did this happen? Like, this is, you know,
I've seen
to play with these people.
Yeah, and they're all just. And I know at one point I'm going to limit this to Gray Fox. It was the most recent memory I have of you with that collaboration. I know at one point there were 12. There had to be at least 12 of the greatest musicians in the world on that stage. you know, and it's something that's like if you're a part of that, you have to every once in a while. Maybe not in the moment because you're performing, but you step back and maybe after you think about, yeah, what just happened.
I got to give Bela a lot of credit, too, because he's such a motivated musician, somebody that's absolutely dedicated his entire life to trying to be the best he can be and the most productive he can be, prolific, you know, on his instrument. And when you have somebody that just plays at that level, I think other musicians are just drawn to that. They want to be part of something like that. So I'm lucky to get to be one of those people that gets to stand up there with him, but it also means that all these other people come along and kind of guest or whatever, and I get to experience that.
Isn't that something? And I'm sure they feel the same way about you, so I don't want to make you seem like the one that you're thinking, wow, but everybody there feels the same.
I'm definitely the baby of the band. So
you
I'm
are,
like,
I know.
You know, these guys are legends, and I'm just over here, like, trying not to be a fangirl.
Well, that's okay, and I'm sure they're all fanboys to the extent that they're all men. Of you. They have to be of you because you've reached that realm, Sierra, where, as you discuss the band that you're going out with, you are now opening up all these other things that you've done and putting them in a putting yourself in a position where you can make those appearances on stage, and you have a rigid, or, you know, you have songs you have to do and tunes you have to do, but you have the ability to be flexible on things. And I think that's a great credit to you that you've picked up all those things over these years and just keep expanding and learning.
Well, thanks, Steve. I appreciate that.
Well, let's I just have a little bit of time left with you, but so the tour schedule's out, and where do people find that?
So if you go to my website, all the dates are listed there, including not just my fall tour, but upcoming tours with Bela, Corey Wong, just the whole rest of the year. I've still got a lot to go, probably 50 shows left.
You're a busy person. I don't want to keep you any longer than I need to.
It's a busy time. But, yeah, I mean, you mentioned Cincinnati. I know that's, some of your audience is in Cincinnati. We will be playing there on the tour. So looking forward to making that stop and, of course, invite you out to it as well.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Memorial
Hall. That's a great venue. You talked about a couple of new songs. Do you think when you get all this new touring out of your system, will you start thinking about a new project to release?
I'm already in the middle of working on it, and I'm trying to work when I have little moments of time. So, for instance, I have a session tomorrow evening at 6 p.m. after, doing the Baylor rehearsal and the
How
radio
in the world?
Morning,
How in
and then
the world?
We fly out. So it's like I'm just squeezing things in. But I have Mr. Tim O'Brien coming over to sing some harmonies.
Oh,
I'm excited about
that. I've heard he's a good singer. Don't tell anything else about it because I want to talk to you when it comes out.
He's pretty good, that dude.
He is. Listen, Sarah Hall, thanks so much again for being available. I know you're so busy, but I wanted to talk to you about the tour, and I'm just so excited for what you're doing.
Yeah, thanks for reaching out. We're really excited for the tour, and hopefully we'll see you out there somewhere.
I will find you. I feel like Daniel Defoe in The Last of the Mohicans. I will find you.
Yes, all right. Awesome.
Okay. I'll see you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Steve.
Bye-bye.